Welcome to the podcast that is all about self-employment. We'll be sharing expertise on getting started, getting noticed, and getting it right, as well as dealing with getting it wrong. Your host, Julia Kermode, will help you get ahead so you get the success you deserve.
Well, thanks for joining us today. I'm really pleased to have with us Penny Haslam, and she is going to talk to us a little bit about having confidence to be a little bit famous. And just by way of background about Penny, she is an award-winning speaker who talks about communication and confidence. And not only that, but she has a really impressive and relevant background in broadcasting. And she's been a former BBC business journalist, and she's done presenting on BBC Breakfast, on the News Channel, on Radio 4 and Radio 5 Live. So welcome, Penny. We are absolutely delighted for you to join us. I feel a little bit honoured to be in your presence.
Oh, nonsense, Julia. Do you know what I really hated about all that TV stuff that I used to do was that people would expect you to be like a certain way, like successful, happy, on everything under control. Nothing could be further from the truth. And I, as a personal finance and business journalist, I had the worst sort of personal finance you could look at. And my life was not in order in any way. And it wasn't until I set up in business that things began to get a bit easier. But yeah, you look really successful when you're doing all those things, but you're not necessarily feeling it. And I think that's the case for everyone, isn't it, really?
I think so, yeah. So just on kind of that and getting to know the real stuff behind it. And it sounds to me like sometimes you almost have to put on a bit of a front when you're doing some of the stuff that you've done in your kind of BBC background and kind of presenting an air of confidence. And I think our listeners would be quite interested in how you go about getting that confidence if you just don't feel like it. Because I guess every day you can't have felt on top of the world when you were doing your presenting.
No, far from it. And that is what has led me to understand how to build better confidence. So you're not scraping it together whenever you need it, because that in itself can be exhausting. I don't know whether you felt this if you've ever worked for a corporate. Now, I was on the TV. I was reading the news, business news. I was interviewing business people on the radio as well, live radio, national television, all that kind of stuff. So yes, you have to have a lot of, you have to look like you know what you're doing. And I didn't feel it. But it's also about being part of a corporate identity where you have to look like you know what you're doing. Have you ever experienced that? You kind of can't be yourself too much.
I kind of know what you're saying. There's a friend of mine who runs an organisation, and I obviously won't mention her, but she sort of says, oh, I've got to go and be da-di-da, and you know, her name. So like, oh, I've got to go out, get out there and be Penny Haslam, for example. And she doesn't always feel like it. So yeah, you've got to have that kind of image, I suppose.
There is a sort of like strain there, I think, and you can't speak your mind. So when I was on TV and radio, I couldn't speak my mind. I couldn't say what I thought. I had to be very neutral, and that was my job, and rightly so. But I never felt I could really be myself. And I think that being yourself is part of growing confidence and building confidence in yourself. So maybe there's a little bit of corporateness going on there, but I mean, I do talks and workshops and all sorts about confidence because I believe it's so important, and it's often seen as one of those personal issues. You've got an issue with confidence, you lack it, or you're not feeling it very much at the moment, that you need to shuffle off and go and deal with that on your own time for yourself, right? Okay, so there's a whole load of sort of shame attached to not feeling that confident. In the workplace, for example, you wouldn't pipe up and go, do you know what, I just don't know how to do that. I'm not feeling sure of myself right now. Or I feel like an imposter. I've got imposter syndrome. Or I don't want to speak up because I'm frightened I'll go red in the face. Or I'm nervous. None of that is sort of acceptable language in most big organizations. But you do need confidence, obviously, and having more of it is fabulous, isn't it? Because you can help you to be, you know, play big in the world. It can help you to walk tall and feel like you can speak your mind and say what you mean and take challenges. But it can come about when we're challenging ourselves. And so it's something to pay attention to. I think that people need to talk about it more. and work on it together. And it wasn't until my friend Bridget, when I worked at the BBC, said to me, "You seem happy and you're doing great work, but are you all right?" I was like, "Well, do you know what? I just feel like they're going to come away and find me out. I feel like a fraud. Like, I feel like I'm doing all this TV stuff and radio stuff and it's great, but I feel like I don't know what I'm doing." Of course, I did know what I was doing, but I kept telling myself I didn't. And she said, "Oh my goodness, you've got imposter syndrome and you've got a whole raft of negative self-talk that you're dealing in. You're scripting the lines about how you don't know what you're doing, you can't do it, you're rubbish, you're stupid, all that kind of stuff." Once I knew about that, I was able to listen out for it and deal with it and grow my confidence. And suddenly I was more open to new experiences. I was able to enjoy my success a little bit more and relax into it. And I think the same thing happened again when I first left the BBC and I set up in business myself. I hadn't really done anything like that before. I didn't have any knowledge about how you do it. I just dive straight in. The terrible business model, by the way. Don't follow what I did. It was failure. The logo, which was Phew, as in Phew, P-H-E-W, stood for Penny Haslam's Expert Women.
Excellent.
The logo was better than the business by a mile. So anyway, that aside, when you challenge yourself, you do doubt yourself a little bit. And I think if you're venturing into a new scenario, like setting up a business, or going into some sort of consultancy role that's a change from what you've done before, or any sort of change, it can shed a bit of a light on. We don't have full confidence all of the time. No one has 100%. No one is 100% confident all of the time. It's ridiculous. So, Yeah, it's been certainly a valuable thing to have in lots of circumstances, but especially when you're setting up on your own.
Yeah, and from what you're saying, I'm really interested to pick up on the fact that we don't talk about confidence enough. And that's certainly true. Never in my 20-odd year working life has anyone ever talked to me about confidence. And, you know, I don't remember really doing any training or development work in it. Mm. And, you know, when I'm doing stuff myself professionally, then you just kind of get into that zone. But I've never been trained on confidence. And so you've got me thinking, maybe I should have spoken about it a bit more, you know, to different teams and, you know, discussed it. It is a taboo, isn't it?
I think so, yes. It's couched in other ways as well. So it's a bit of a confusing topic. It's called resilience, happiness, success, ambition, performance, you know, sort of that kind of field of stuff you need to think about a little bit. But it comes up in every sort of business area. I mean, we talk about our business confidence. Mm. We talk about consumer confidence. I even saw an ATM the other day, a cash point, with it was Barclays cash point saying, "Confidence, have confidence in us." It's like, well, I'd like to have confidence in myself, to be honest. But it's like this kind of like thing that we should all have, but no one tells you how. Yeah. And for me, it trumps all of the things I listed. If you're confident, or you're more confident, you're more likely to be resilient. You're more likely to be happy. You're more likely to perform better at work. You're more likely to be successful. And it trumps everything. It overrides everything. So if you know how to build confidence in yourself or in employees, in work, in people you work with, or family members, you know, there might be children or siblings who are a bit unsure of themselves. And wouldn't it be lovely to give them the gift of confidence? So yeah, I think it's something that you do. It's not something that you have, and you have to work at it all the time.
When you're not feeling confident, you're almost listening to your own sort of internal monologue, if you like, about how you're not good enough or whatever our internal criticism is all about. And I think we all have that to an extent. And you know, I think from what you're saying, you almost need to switch off those internal critics and kind of focus on the more positive things. Is that right? Or
oh, absolutely. I mean, they're there for a reason. They're there to protect you. And it's old flight or fight instinct stuff, which is great. You know, good for self-talk, piping up when there is a saber-toothed tiger about to pounce, or when there is, you know, something else that urgently needs dealing with. But I think when you're challenged, when you're challenging yourself, when you're stepping into doing new things, and there are a lot of new things to deal with when you set up your own business. There are so many things that perhaps central corporate might have done before, or you've not had to think about before, or even articulate before. It can really go a bit crazy, old self-talk. So it can think it needs to be in protection mode quite a lot. And it's something that I dealt with as various points when it got a bit rampant. And old self-talk would go on a bit, and it's a bit like a stuck CD, just saying the same stuff over and over again. Classic story of delaying on something, actually, when I had self-talk going on about getting out there, get my business out there. So I managed to reiterate a few into Bit Famous, which is a bit of a better business model, I'd like to think. And I send out emails to a list of people who are interested in what I do and who want to keep in touch. And because I'm a former journalist and occasionally quite funny, I'm able to write quite a decent email that's helpful to people to help them raise their profile. So that's what my business now does. It doesn't just help women get on TV and radio. It helps men and women raise their profile and get out there, get known for what they do, for their business, that sort of thing. So this email, the first one I ever wrote, sales and marketing. You've got to do sales and marketing when you're in business. You've got to do it. Yeah. This is what I've been told. You've really got to get, you know, customers and stuff. Fair point. It is a good idea to do that. The best way of doing that, email marketing. Go for it. Do a really good newsletter, regular, consistent. You know, go on. Right. Okay. I get the idea. I wrote this email. Well, I spent 3 months writing it, actually, because...
3 months. That's hilarious.
Yeah. It wasn't full time, Julia. I mean, let's not... I wasn't that slow, but it did. It took ages because I had to obviously fanny around with the logo, and then I had to fanny around with the print and the strap line and where it was going to go. And then I had to work out the CRM, you know, the customer relationship manager database. Where are all your people going to go? How are you going to know who they are? And then I had to obviously work out which side the logo went on MailChimp. I mean, have you ever used Mail? It's just awful. None of this stuff really plays to my strengths at all. I found it very, very difficult. And ultimately, underneath all of that activity was self-talk and imposter syndrome and a fear of what people would think of me when I got out there eventually. So getting exposure for what you do is very brilliant for your business, but you can feel exposed from time to time, plus when you're learning a new skill and getting into a new vibe. Now, the self-talk before had been, I can't do this. I can't do sales and marketing. I'm not into sales and marketing. I haven't got any experience in sales and marketing. I'm rubbish at sales and marketing. Really awful. I mean, you did a bit of sales and marketing before and that was just rubbish. You weren't very good at all. And so you look at your past experiences and drum them up again. You know, let's rake over them one more time just for evidence that you're crap and you shouldn't be going forward. And I chatted to a friend about it and she said, for goodness sake, and stop colouring in. And I told you this last week when we had a call, didn't I? You were colouring in on something.
Yeah.
So stop colouring in and sketch your future. Stop colouring in and sketch your future. Don't make it perfect. Don't make it just right. And get on with it. And then once you've got on with it and got over that hump, you can decide whether it is any good or not. You can be a bit more objective about it. And it was fine. It was a great email. I got a few potential leads from it. I mean, goodness, that's fantastic, isn't it?
That's amazing.
So, yeah. So it can trip you up. It can get out of control. You need to pay attention to it and you need to really listen out for it and work out whether it's true or not, because quite often it's just blunt headlines on some sort of old caveman operating system that doesn't really have much power. And it can trip you up regularly. So say you got that customer that customer coming back to you off something, a warm lead. You might stop yourself from getting in touch. You might stop yourself from sending a follow-up email. You know what I mean? I'm not good at sales, or I'm not sure they'll buy my product. And it's very difficult to have that really robust faith in what you do all of the time. Or they might think it's too much money. Or I got back to them and they didn't reply. Oh, they must not like what I do. You know, there are plenty of opportunities for self-doubt when you set up your own business. My goodness. Yeah. So you need to have good people around you who can talk you down from that. Go, come on, remember, this is why you believe in this. And that is at the heart of this.
It's so hard, actually, isn't it? And I guess, I know sometimes
it's all too easy to focus on the one thing that you've done that perhaps hasn't met your very high standards for yourself. But you can bet that no one else remembers that one thing. They remember all of the other many other things that outweigh that one thing, you know? So, I suppose it's about training yourself not to listen to that kind of self-doubt. And you can almost become obsessive about that one thing where it wasn't perfect. And that's just not helpful, is it?
No, it's not. And it was when I decided that I was going to be good at sales and marketing. I changed the script. I literally changed what I was saying. So every time I heard this little, you're no good at sales and marketing. You've never done that before. You've never done that role before. Look at the last business. You went back, you know, all of that. I thought, no, I've got to do this. So I'm going to have to do this. I'm going to say, I'm not good at sales and marketing yet. I'm going to read a book on it. Yet I'm going to have a go and try this thing. Yet I'm going to ask other people about it. And so the word yet, or as I call it, become a yeti. Become a yeti, because you stop telling yourself repeated closed statements about what you can and cannot do. And you suddenly open the world to possibility, and you open yourself to the next things that come at the next things, next steps that come after the three dots that follow that word. So I'm no good at sales and marketing yet. I'm going to take action, ask people, read a book, whatever, can in itself make you feel more confident and more likely that you're going to eventually understand it. And actually, it was through asking a load of people about marketing. How do you market your business? How do you market your business? That, my goodness, I can tell you now, there is no silver bullet. There's no one answer. It's all a bit of a kind of have a go. I'm sure professional marketing people wouldn't have it that way. But as far as sole traders go, entrepreneurs, I think just have a go, see what works, but don't spend too long failing and just get on with it and do what you enjoy, actually.
Yeah, I think that's so true. And in kind of setting up this podcast and things like that, I've been experimenting with different types of social media that I hadn't ever done before. And I used to think, I just don't do social media. But then if you add on that, yet, I don't do social media yet, and then I'm going to go and learn about Instagram or Facebook or whatever it might be, then it does just change it from being a negative to a different outlook, which, I could have done with this chat probably about two months ago.
I could have done with it as well. I mean, it wasn't until someone asked me about putting together some ideas about confidence, because my main bread and butter, as I mentioned, is helping people raise their profile and get out there. And I was helping an organization to do that with their top team. And they were like, right, we've got an annual conference coming up. Could you put together a talk? You know, when people say that, it sounds really easy. Just put together some ideas about confidence. And I literally, Julia, it's hilarious. I went, oh, right. Do you think I'm the right person? I mean, I don't really know that much. So classically not confident about that. And sort of had a good look back at what had helped me along the way. And I think that's a really important thing to do as well. And do you know what? All of this is not just business development. It's really important personal development as well. Mm. And becoming more aware of yourself and how you operate in the world. What makes you happy? What makes you tired? What challenges you? What makes you anxious? What floats your boat? You know, what do you love and what is lucrative in whatever you think, money or purpose or whatever you put first? Without that self-awareness, you can't really move forward too quickly or too easily, or you might cheese a lot of people off on the way. So yeah, I think it's really important to read books, watch YouTube videos, watch TED Talks, and develop ideas. Don't be, you know, so porous to all of them that you take them all on, because your head explodes, doesn't it, when you're setting up a business?
Yeah.
Your head comes off its hinges.
Yeah, I can feel like that more than once this week. So yes, I totally get it. But in terms of kind of consuming all this content that's out there, and you know, for people setting up their own business, and whether, you know, whatever that might be, it could be anything. I guess a lot of it, when it is your own business, is about developing your personal brand, and kind of how to do that. And, you know, people talk about being authentic and, you know, that sort of thing. I mean, I guess having confidence in yourself enables you to be authentic and to have a better or a more real personal brand. Does that kind of make sense? Does that resonate with kind of your experience?
Yes, in a way. I would think that confidence and your profile, I'm not going to use the word brand because I don't want to get too mixed up with the idea of a brand being a logo and your values and how your organization is. It's the right word. But what I mean when I talk about it is raising your profile and that of your business. So rather than using marketing or PR, which is expensive, not expensive, but you know, sometimes out of reach when you're first setting up, you can actually make yourself a little bit famous, which is the title of my work, my book, and my thinking around all of this for business owners and often actually for people within organizations. But let's focus on business owners, entrepreneurs, solo traders, all that good stuff. And it goes hand in hand. And you can't just wait for confidence to arrive before you do this. You've got to go step by step. What am I going to do this week that will help raise my profile? And when you see things like engagement, likes, comments, you can build your confidence and go, oh, I actually worked on Instagram or whatever you've not been used to using. I'll give that another whirl. Brilliant. Oh, I've raised my profile again. Oh, and someone's asked me now to put a talk together. Oh, right. Okay. I'll get some support on that. And then that builds your confidence. And being part of a community is really valuable. So an example of that, getting exposure is... and building confidence at the same time, I joined an association, which I would really recommend anyone to do when they're in business. It could be a business association, a general one, or it could be specific to your sector. So I joined the Professional Speaking Association. And in that is obviously a lot of competitors in my marketplace, a lot of other professional speakers. And my goodness, they're a loud bunch. You know, they know how to shout about themselves. Well, they look like they do anyway. And so it was through hanging out with them, and they are brilliantly generous people with their time and their knowledge. They just want to help, and understanding how the business speaking business worked, that I got my confidence up. There was then one of our annual conventions, and there was a comedy night, a comedy competition night. I thought, well, I've had a bit of a dabble in the past, years ago when I lived in London, a bit of stand-up comedy, you know, after work sort of stuff. It wasn't my main job. It was just a bit of have a go. I'll dust off the old jokes and the microphone stand and we'll see how we get on. And if I fail, it's just never mind. Loads of people enter and loads of people are rubbish. So that's good. I'll just be down there. Anyway, I won the thing.
Oh, fantastic. That's brilliant.
I know. And I look back at, thank you. And I look back at it now and go, actually was really funny. Actually was really polished and confident. I must have it, but I didn't believe it at the time. I couldn't imagine it at the time. And so what that did was it gave me yet another little shove in the back. And you've got to be alive to these things, got a little shove in the back that you're doing the right thing. And that actually your role in the world is not to play small, it's to play big and to be more out there in the world, or whatever your calling is, or whatever the reason is for you setting up your business in the first place, is it does actually nudge you along. And then from that, I went, well, actually, if I'm funny and I really enjoy being funny, why don't I incorporate that into my speaking and become known as someone who is, you know, a woman who can stand up on stage holding a microphone and making the audience laugh, not through telling jokes, but just by generally being funny. That would float my boat, and that gave me confidence to move forward and change how I came across. So that was a step-by-step. Things go hand in hand, step-by-step. You can't just wait for confidence to happen, or you will be waiting forever.
Yes.
You've got to get a grip, haven't you, at some point?
Yeah. You'll be colouring in forever, to use the phrase that I like. So yeah, stop colouring in. Just on that, and I mean, I can't imagine how it must feel to do comedy. Aren't you scared that people won't laugh? I mean, this is, I'm digressing a bit, but I'm just genuinely interested, because for me, that strikes the fear into me. I mean, I don't think I'm massively funny anyway, but if I was, I'm not sure I'd get up on stage and do it.
I think you are funny, actually, Juliet, and I don't mean laughing at you. I mean laughing with you, which is lovely and joyful. And quite often, you'll see people on stage making the audience laugh at business events, because it isn't very hard to make people laugh, actually, in certain circumstances. I mean, yeah, if you're going to Jonglers as a newbie and you're expecting to have everyone absolutely side-splittingly, pant-wettingly, hilarious, you know, R-O-F-L, rolling around on the floor laughing, you're in for a surprise. It's not going to happen. But it's like anything, isn't it? The more you do, the more you can do. And when you start, you're crap. I mean, it's not just comedy, is it? It's anything, any sort of performance stuff. Yeah. You can be crap. Is it not, you know?
Yeah, but
it's likely that you'll be.
No one expects you to be able to ride a bike straight away when you first get your bike at Christmas, you know, whatever age you are. Yeah, it takes practice, right?
It does. And then finally, you're enjoying it and you're not even thinking about it. So the reason I like it, I don't know why I like it. I like people making people laugh. I like commanding a room, if you like.
Yeah.
That's weird, isn't it? It's like a quite unusual thing to like. But so that's what floats my boat, and that's what I sought out and became good at and known for.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I first started, I was rubbish.
And I guess having won that competition and you know, being the best in that group, that's then really hard evidence that you can't ignore. And, you know, that then must then build your confidence and drown out your negative thoughts a little bit around it. So you know, I guess in building confidence, you've always got to, as you say, have that nudge when you do something well, and, you know, be aware of it, because then it will give you the confidence to keep going and keep growing.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, bizarrely, the couple of years before that at the convention, I'd been awarded Speaker of the Year.
Oh, wow.
Now, you'd think, wouldn't you, I'd have some sort of major swagger after that. Like, yeah, look at me, right? Okay. I didn't. I absolutely was frightened of it. And I thought, wow. Oh, they got that wrong. You know, it's imposter syndrome and that kind of stuff is very powerful.
That's hilarious.
So it took another...
They got that wrong, you know. They just saw you and liked you and didn't think about it. I mean, yeah, it's funny what we tell ourselves, though, isn't it?
It is. And I think I say this when I'm coaching people in presentation or training, you know, doing training groups of presentation skills or panel, taking part in panel discussions, that sort of thing, is that when you're nervous or new or all of the above, and you're trying something new, when you're exploring a new skill or you're doing something that's uncomfortable, like public speaking or going to networking, you know, you do a lot of that when you're new in business, going to networking, building your community, building your network, your tribe of people, you can often judge your internal experience and use that as what it was like and how you came across. But actually the external view of you isn't the same.
No.
If you consider that for a moment, that you, if you use your internal experience to benchmark or judge how well you did, you're on a hiding to nothing. You're never going to get out from under that, because you will always go, oh, I don't know if it was all right.
Yeah.
I think it was a bit crap. Oh, I was so nervous. Oh, was it awful? Oh, God, when I forgot that slide, I didn't, you know, it just, no. What might well have come across is somebody who's lovely and authentic and friendly and had a nice smile on her face and was good at what she said and was passionate. But no, you're judging it all on the what you felt, not what actually happened. So that's why it's really important to have great critical friend feedback on stuff. And it might be that I work with a mastermind group. It's not my mastermind group. It's our mastermind group. There are six of us in business. And we explore each other's issues, problems, challenges, that sort of thing. And one of the group hates writing. You know, she hates doing pitches and blurb and all of that.
Yeah.
And so she'll not just bring her speaking abilities to the group or anything else and go, what do you think? Did I do all right? She'll actually bring work and go, I can't get this to write well. I can't get this to work well on paper. Has anyone got any input? What do you think I'm doing wrong? And she learns from that and grows from it and understands what she could do better next time. So it's about asking for support when you actually need it, rather than thinking you have to work out all this on your own and bear it. So get a critical friend in, get some decent support, get some good people on the bus.
Exactly. So, So just sort of thinking a little bit about how do we get ourselves out there a bit more and get a little bit famous? Is there sort of any top tips or thoughts for our listeners who are just setting up, who, you know, feel like they've got the confidence to get out there? Or even if they haven't got the confidence, you've got to stop colouring in and get out there. How would you suggest that someone, you know, does that?
There are so many ways. I would hate to overwhelm anyone with all of them. My book, Make Yourself a Little Bit Famous, the audio version. If you like podcasts, you'll love the audio version. Sets all of these ideas out and is a major handbook on how you can do it. And the main ideas in that book, and although there are many, many more, are fashioning your image of that as an expert. And that is crucial. Yeah. Really, really key. And when we say the word expert, we often think of world-leading PhD academic type or someone who's running something major, right? Actually, expertise in the dictionary, expert means somebody who is knowledgeable. Can you say yes to that? Yes, I'm knowledgeable. I know some stuff. Someone who has experience. I've got some experience. I might not have loads of experience, or I might be new using this experience in a new setting. However, I do have experience and I'm passionate. And I haven't met an entrepreneur yet who isn't like 24 hours a day passionate about what they're doing. Seriously. It's a life's work, isn't it? And it's a love and it's just gorgeous. So thinking about what lights you up, what you can begin to build on that your customers are interested in. So there's no point just going, oh yeah, well, I've got loads of experience in organizing files in my desk because it looks really tidy and I'm loving that. No one cares. So you've got to think about the WIFM lot, you know, the what's in it for me.
Yeah,
I call it running for mayor. When you've got your campaign issues sorted out, you can go and knock on doors, kiss babies, all that good stuff, and get known for those things that people are interested in rather than what you want to tell them about. And then you couple that with a campaign trail. Okay. Now, in the book, I talk about media stuff like going on TV and radio, podcasts. I should include a new chapter on, shouldn't I? Mm-hmm. Going on podcasts. Taking part in panel discussions at events and speaking at events, being an industry speaker or speaker at a networking event, you get to shake hands with the whole room in one go. It's absolutely magical. Yeah. Really is. Quick win, I have to say. And I love doing that. That's why I started speaking in the first place, because I hated networking. Wow. I hated shaking hands with people and having small talk and coffees. I couldn't know how to do it. I really didn't. So I just started talking. I just put a talk together, which was a bit rubbish, but, you know, nonetheless, I had a go. So those are the three sort of main ways of doing that. And then, of course, you've got smartphone video at your disposal in your pocket. There is a camera that would have years ago cost around 30 grand.
Yeah.
So it's good quality, not to be sniffed at. And learning how to take short, helpful, not salesy, helpful, not salesy videos, and then sharing them on a various number of social media platforms or in an email is a really cool way for people to get to know you. I was figures out recently, can't remember the source of it. I can provide that if anyone wants to frisk me for the citation on that, where sales win rates were increased by 127% when video was turned on. Say you're on a Zoom call or on an MS Teams call. If you don't have your video on, people don't get to know you as easily. They don't like you. They don't trust you. And that's what this is all about. So I've won loads of work, actually, not from necessarily switching my video on a Zoom call, but by providing all my platforms with lots of video content that people can feel like they've got to know me and my work before they even pick up the phone. And they kind of know they want to book me, or they know they want to explore how I can help them. It's so incredibly powerful and free. So why wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And it's funny you mentioned video. That's what I was procrastinating about last week when when we spoke. But yeah, I mean, for me, I think, oh, why do people want to watch it on video? Why can't they just read it? You know, I would shy away from the video, but you know, you've got to give it a go. And you know, I've got now this video done, and I was even the other night thinking, oh, perhaps I'll do a weekly
Look at you.
You know, a video blog, and I'm thinking,
well, it's quicker than a blog, isn't it? It's for some people, writing a blog, I mean, it takes me pretty much three quarters of a day all day to write 500 words because I really want to craft it well. But I've got into a position now where I can pick up my phone and pretty much speak to it and record something that's half decent, and I can bob it out there. I can always do a transcription of it later,
yeah,
or take the main ideas of it later. So don't be too frightened of it, although many people do find it very difficult. I've done loads of content on this. I haven't written a chapter about it, but I've done loads of content on how to use your smartphone, what to say, how to package up what you're saying, make it short. And we all know from our own experiences of looking at Facebook and Twitter late at night when we're meant to be going to sleep, all the videos, haven't we? And you know, you say about why would people want to watch it? I'm with you there. I'm either listen to something or read something kind of a girl. Why would you watch it? Quite often people read videos. So if you can put subtitles on it, then you're off to, people are going to have it muted on their, you know, journeys or whatever, or when they're in the office, and they can quickly read a video, but they like seeing you as well. They really like seeing images.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have a look back at your Facebook feed over the last 10 years, and it was all text-based posts. How are you feeling? I'm in Paris, blah, blah, blah. It's great. I'm with such and such. I'm having a good time. I'm here. It was no, I didn't put any pictures on my feed 10 years ago. It wasn't until about six, seven years ago that I started putting photographs on. And then I looked back and go, oh my God, is that all I did? And now it's video, video, video. It just has come alive. We really like it. They're watched. No one's going to hold on to that as evidence that you can or cannot do your work.
Yeah.
Just start having a go. Press record. If it doesn't work out, delete it. If it does, share it. Jog on.
That's so true, because going back to the start of this conversation, we were talking about, you know, that kind of almost corporate facade that some of us feel that we have to keep up. But it's good to have a bit of real you in the mix as well as the image that you want to portray.
And most people find that a massive relief.
Yeah.
Oh, finally, I don't have to be, as you described about your friend, or I have to go and be Penny Haslam or Julia Commode. I have to go and be this being. Most people, once they can sort of blur the boundary between your business self and your real self, you can really take off and feel more comfortable and confident about what you're doing. It really has got, you know, there's a real place for it, I think. And small businesses can really steal a march, I think, on bigger businesses when they can do that, because they can give themselves permission to do all of this stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas when you work for someone else, there's always maybe someone above you who's more important or more senior, who's likely to be the representative of the brand or the business, who is told what the key messages are, or they're decided at a real high level. You can decide how you come across. You can decide what you're going to say and when you're going to say it. And you can begin to build passion around what you do. And that is gold. That is gold. So small businesses need to wrap their arms around this passion piece, because I tell you what, it blows the others out of the water. It really does.
Yeah, that is so, so true, isn't it? And of course, the advantage of building a business kind of around your passion and you as an individual is that there's no one else out there that is you. It's only you, if that makes sense. I'm starting to confuse myself, to be honest.
No, it's an Oscar Wilde quote, isn't it? It's like, be yourself, everyone else is taken, something like that.
Ah, well, I'm that's exactly what I meant.
you're so wise, Julia.
I know.
Erudite.
So we're probably almost out of time. Do you have any top tips to kind of close with for our listeners?
My top tip would be to learn how to do this stuff. Get some ideas on it. Seek out role models. Get going.
Yeah.
Don't wait until your website's perfect. Don't wait until you've got loads of confidence. Don't wait until you've got your, you know, your finite product list all sorted out before you launch on the world. Just get going with it. There's no waiting around in this game. You just have to press on. And at the same time, don't overwhelm yourself with, oh my goodness, I should have been on Twitter earlier and I wasn't. Spend 15 minutes every morning doing some social media, doing something towards getting yourself out there, becoming a little bit famous, writing a blog, doing a video. I say 15 minutes, it can take a bit longer at first, but the more you do of this stuff, the more you can do.
Yeah.
And there's real quick turnaround value in that. You can see it almost straight away. So don't delay would be my big message.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And, you know, absolutely, the more you do of it, the quicker it is and the more you're comfortable with it. And, you know, I've only just kind of entered into Facebook. I mean, I'm that behind. When you said about your Facebook going back 10 years, I've actively
Juliet, avoided. Facebook's over, mate. You're late, too late. Really, know, seriously, what are you doing? No, I'm joking. It's not.
So,
in fact, I'm setting up from January a new Facebook group to help people do all of this, be held accountable, because quite often it's not mission critical. Yeah. Getting yourself out there is not seen as mission critical. But it's a really good space to be in for small businesses, definitely.
Fantastic.
So you're in the right place, Julia. I was joking.
Yeah, well, I'm just going to have a go anyway, because that's how I feel. So
good for you. It's your gut. Well done. Yeah.
So if people want to connect with you, Penny, where can they find you? And I'll put this in the show notes that go with the podcast episode too.
Well, you can find me anywhere, and you can find my book anywhere. So just Google Penny Haslam or Make Yourself a Little Bit Famous. And the book is available on Audible, Kindle, and in old-fashioned physical paperback.
Right. Well, I think that concludes everything. So thank you so much for joining us today, Penny. It's been really, really good. And I know our listeners will have benefited from it. So yeah, and I'll put the stuff on the show notes as to where people can find you. So thank
Brilliant.
You.
Thanks for having me. All the best.
Thank you for listening to All About Self-Employment, hosted by Julia Kermode. For more information on today's discussion, please visit iwork.co.uk, where you can also join our growing community. We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and if you did, then we would love you to subscribe, rate, and review our podcast. We'll be back at the same time next week.